Well, we've, over the last 2 months, I believe, we've just finished the book of Jonah. Now, Burton Kaufman, the commentator, has written several essays comparing Jonah with Jesus and then also Jonah with Israel. And so I thought what we would do over the next 2 weeks is go over these essays that he had written. They were good enough. In fact, he'd written about 20 pages, but I cut it down to 8 pages. And I thought these were good essays to go over. Also, Mother found on the internet a chart that showed the foreshadowing, how Jonah foreshadowed the Messiah. And it was 7 ways. So I thought I would start with that. And so they said it's the account this shows the account how Jonah foreshadows the redemptive work of the Messiah. So Jonah's mission on the first was to call the gentle Assyrians of Nineveh to repentance. And Jesus's mission was to call all of mankind, including the Gentile nations, to repentance and to establish his kingdom. Number 2. Jonah was willing to sacrifice his life for the salvation of his shipmates, whereas Jesus was willing to sacrifice his life for the salvation of the world. Number 3. Jonah was entombed in the belly of a great fish, whereas after Jesus' death, he was placed in a tomb. Number 4. Parallel of how Jonah foreshadowed Jesus. On the third day, Jonah was resurrected from the belly of the fish, whereas Jesus, on the third day, was resurrected from the tomb. Number 5. After Jesus' resurrection from the belly of the fish, he continued his mission to call the Gentile Assyrians to repentance. After Jesus' resurrection from the tomb, he continued his mission to establish his kingdom and to command the apostles to spread the gospel to every nation on earth, and this was accomplished in about 25 years, which was a remarkable feat. The sixth foreshadowing of how Jonah foreshadowed the Messiah. Jonah preached that Nineveh would be destroyed in 40 days if the people did not repent. Whereas after Jesus' resurrection, he taught the disciples for 40 days before his ascension. And the seventh point in a way that Jonah foreshadowed Jesus, Jonah taught that failure to repent brings forth judgment. Then Jesus taught that failure to repent also brings forth judgment, but he also added that obedience to the plan of salvation leads to eternal life. So we thought that this was worth bringing in. Also, the rest of this is from Kaufman, these essays that he wrote. And there were 4, in these 20 pages that he wrote, there were 4 different essays that he had written. The first one was 4 parallels of Jonah and Jesus. Then he wrote the 6 miracles that God performed for Jonah and Jesus. Then there were 2 similarities surrounding Jonah and Jesus, and then 5 comparisons of Jonah with Israel, and that's the last half of this. He wrote the most on 5 comparisons of Jonah and Israel. So I'll start off with 4 parallels of Jonah and Jesus. And the 4 parallels are, both Jonah and Jesus were on board a ship in a storm at sea. Number 2, both Jonah and Jesus gave themselves up to death with the result of saving others. Number 3, both Jonah and Jesus were executed by Gentiles. And number 4, both Jonah and Jesus were delivered from death. So, the first point, to expand on each point now, the first point, both Jonah and Jesus were on board a ship in a storm at sea. And he has 4 points to support this. Number 1, Both were surrounded by fearful men, Jonah by the mariners and Jesus by the apostles. Number two, both vessels were in imminent danger of perishing. Number three, both Jonah and Jesus were awakened, Jonah by the shipmaster and Jesus by the apostles. And number four, both Jonah and Jesus acted to calm the turbulent sea, Jonah by commanding himself to be thrown overboard, and Jesus by commanding or rebuking the wind and the sea. And this, of course, with Jesus, is the famous account after he had taught the multitude of the Jews on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. I don't have the right map up to show this, but on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, and he was very tired, and so he wanted to get away, so he got in the ship with his 12 apostles into a boat, and they were going to the east side, and that's when this great storm came up, and from all account, it was going to sink the ship if they had not wakened Jesus up, which he was very tired after all of this teaching, and they had to wake him up, and he calmed the sea. And then from there, they go to the east side, and that is also the very famous and well-known account where Jesus and the apostles come upon two men that were possessed by many demons known as Legion. And so this is that account that Jonah paralleled or foreshadowed as he got into the ship to go to Tarshish to run away from God, to try not to do what God had commanded him to do, to go to Nineveh. So he went in the opposite direction. So this is one example of how Jonah paralleled Jesus' life, or vice versa. Jesus would parallel what Jonah had already lived through previously, some 800 years previously. Okay, now the second point, that how Jonah and Jesus paralleled one another. Both Jonah and Jesus gave themselves up to death with the result of saving others. The analogy fails to hold absolutely in the characters of the two men, since Jesus was altogether and totally innocent, and Jonah's life was marked by disobedience and imperfections. Nevertheless, in the case of Jonah, despite his previous rebellion, his running away from the Lord, and his refusing his duty, when others were threatened with imminent and impending death because of his sin, he unselfishly stepped forward, accepted the blame, and freely gave himself up to death, which saved those whom he had endangered, which were the shipmates, the ones controlling the ship. And this saved their life, because this ship was also going to sink if Jonah was not thrown overboard. So in this respect, Jonah gave himself up to death to save these mariners. Jonah is therefore in this event a foreshadowing of the Son of God himself, despite his humanity having been marred by the common frailties of all men. Okay, the third point. Both Jonah and Jesus were executed by Gentiles. Jonah was executed by the pagan mariners, and Jesus was executed by the platoon of Roman soldiers who were acting upon the orders of the Roman governor. Like so many of these comparisons, this one also is emphasized and intensified by amazing occurrences which reveal design in the remarkable similarities. Although both were executed by Gentiles, the Jewish insistence upon death in each case is fully evident, not only in Jonah's command that he should be thrown overboard, but in the Savior's repeated prophecy of his death and in the demanding of the Jewish mob in Jerusalem for his death. So in both of these cases, there were Jews that insisted upon the death of Jonah and upon Jesus. And Jonah was himself, being a Jew, he commanded that he was going to die and to be thrown overboard. And so he would not have to go to Nineveh to preach to them so that they would repent. And then it was the Jewish mob that the scribes and the Pharisees had raised up in a frenzy, and that they were calling to Pilate, demanding for Jesus' death. So there's more similarities and subtext in these major points. Then Kaufman continues, "The similarity does not end there, for Gentile elements in both events declared the innocence of the one condemned. The mariners prayed to the Lord not to lay innocent blood upon them, just as Pilate washed his hands and said, 'I am innocent of the blood of this righteous man.'" So, the mariners, after they did what Jonah told them to do, then they prayed to God that Jonah's, what they called innocent blood, would not be held to their account. And whereas Pilate washed his hands of Jesus' crucifixion, that he did not consent to it. And so this is how Gentiles were regretting these events. And then he concludes with this third point as, "If the mariners had possessed the same sense of spiritual values as Jonah, they might not have considered him innocent, but according to their belief system, he was innocent since he was not guilty of any violence. He had not killed a man or hurt anyone else, and so with their pagan belief system, he was innocent. That's why they called Jonah innocent." But Kaufman is saying that if they had the same belief system as the Israelites, they would not have called Jonah innocent because he was going completely against what God had commanded him. And then the fourth point, and we will end with this fourth point here. Both Jonah and Jesus were delivered from death. Jonah, by being deposited upon the dry land after 3 days and three nights in the great fish, and Jesus by his resurrection from the tomb. After being entombed in a sealed and guarded grave for 3 days and three nights. So both of these were delivered from death. And then he finishes up in the final paragraph here. "This is the great central sign in each case, being the one which Jesus singled out in Matthew 12 and Luke 11. The similarities between these two events are startling and convincing. The account of Jonah so paralleled the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus so accurately that a closer look at both accounts should be taken." And this is the famous account that Jesus was telling, the scribes and the Pharisees were demanding a sign to prove that Jesus was the Messiah. And he told them that a wicked and perverse generation are the ones that seek after a sign. And he was telling them that they were wicked and perverse, and that no sign would be given to them except the sign of the prophet Jonah, that he would parallel, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of this great fish, he would be in the heart of the earth, and then he would resurrect just as Jonah was resurrected out of the fish. And so that was the only sign that they were going to get. They wanted some great sign from God to do something in the sky, maybe God show himself, something. And Jesus told them, no, it's only the wicked that demand some kind of miraculous sign of a great overshowing like that. And you're not going to get that. You will get a sign and a miracle, but it's going to be from the prophet Jonah from 800 years ago. And they did not like that then, they did not accept that then, and they still have not accepted it today, which is very unfortunate. We will end there now, and then next week we'll plan to pick up with the rest of these essays on these comparisons with Jonah and Jesus or Jonah and Israel.